Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son Jesus Christ once again. Thank you that you brought all of us to be together and your presence is here. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Speak through me because it is not me, it is you, the Spirit of God. Let your word come to us as you want us to be. Give every one of us the receptive heart to receive your word as you want us. In all things, edify us, encourage us, help us to glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. It's my privilege to stand once again in front of you. I thank God for God's grace and God's mercy of our travelings and many things has happened. It is all by God and also through your prayers and your support. And I may not take time for testimony as this time, that will be later. So this message of today was prepared long back, and as pastor has given a brief introduction about it, yes, it is the council, the leadership decided, yes, this kind of teaching is necessary for us. We know that we are all children of God. We are all children of God. Amen. We are all followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. For everything there is a different and the purpose is there. And we are Christians. Why Amen is less? We are Christians. Amen. We are Pentecostals. Amen. If you want details and difference about all these things, you can come tomorrow. Okay. And when we are teaching about the water baptism, the last part when we concluded is what will happen after we are baptized in water. Every one of us, not all of us are water baptized, most of us are water baptized. And after water baptism, what will happen? What you are supposed to do? First thing is, you are supposed to join to the church. You become the member of the church. Secondly, you are encouraged to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, you are expected and encouraged to serve in the church. Am I clear? So now some of you may be thinking, I am water baptized, I am in the church, I do nothing. But the Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. Yes. So here we are going to see who is the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's not a right question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why I put is who is the Holy Spirit? We shall know who He is. So in this, what is Holy Spirit? John 14:7, Jesus said, what did He say? The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him, because it neither sees the world, neither sees Him, nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Is it clear? It is the statement of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not written by somebody, it is straightforward from Him. So this scripture very clearly in Psalm says more information about He is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. How many of you believe? Say amen. Amen. Right. Again, John 16 verse 13. John 16 verse 13 says, 15:26. Holy Spirit is a person. John 15 verse 26. Abigail, can you read it?
When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me.
He will. He is a person. Some people, the unknown people, and they may say the Spirit is something, it is a force, it is a power, it is not like a force, or it is like, even though it is like a wind, they say like, but it is not the wind. It is not the Spirit like all other people believe it. We believe that He is, by His name itself, He is the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Here He says, He will testify about me. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is a person. John 16:13. Just count how many He and His are there. Seven times in one verse. Just pay attention to that. 16:13.
John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come.
I hope it's enough for us to understand He is a person. How many of you pay attention, notice this, how it is written, how He has spoken? Jesus Christ has said, He, when He comes, and He will guide, He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Is it enough for you to believe it? He is a person. He is a person. He is not only the person. After you receive baptism or after you receive Him, but the next slide shows, He is God from the beginning. He is not only as a person, He is God. Genesis 1:2.
Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. From the creation He was there. So He is triune God. He is God. Holy Spirit is God. Right. He is not only a person, He is God. The scripture says, He should not be grieved.
Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
He should not be grieved. You know, all of us, we know, Jesus came to this world to forgive our sins and save us and made us as like Him. That is the desire of God the Father, that all of His children, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, to become like His Son Jesus Christ. That is the desire. And He is the one who has all authority to forgive every one of our sins. All our sins. Irrespective of a person, He forgive all our sins. How many of you believe? Say amen.
Amen.
Right. There is one unforgiven sin which cannot be forgiven. Do you know that? Yes. Why we should not be grieved, or the Holy Spirit should not be grieved because of the unforgiven sin? What is that? Jesus himself has said in Matthew 12:32. Yes. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. If you speak anything against Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven. But what he says, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Either, it is not only there, either in this age or in the age to come. If you want more clarity, he spoke in Matthew 3:29. Abigail.
But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation.
See that? The end. If you grieve him or if you blaspheme him, that is a sin that not only unforgiven, to the eternal death. See the consequences of the seriousness of speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. That much serious. You know, about why the world is still not preach the gospel, or not the whole world is not saved yet. There are many reasons why the world is not saved. Unsaved people are so much. Even the whole world, maybe 7% will be the believers. Rest of them are still in the idol worshippers or unbelievers. Why it is? Many reasons. Many reasons. Number one, it may not be preached. It's not preached. There are restrictions. And it goes on and on. And some people, they don't believe it. Even when you preach and speak about Jesus Christ and the salvation, and they are not believing. That's why the world is not evangelized. Even though there are many things, one reason is, they do not understand the concept of accepting Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins. Let me say it again. The world, many intellectual people, many the philosophers, they don't believe it, they don't accept it, because they may be a philosopher. They do not know the concept of forgiving their sin, just simply believing in Jesus. How come it? They don't understand. They don't believe it. They don't understand. It is not accepted by them. How come when I confess to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive my sins? My sins are washed. I became a new creation so that I will enter heaven. This is not accepted, not understood by their knowledge. They are ignorant. There are people ignorant of it. But there are other people, they do not understand the basic truth of how come it is possible. Just I believe and my sins are forgiven. How come? I confess, my sins are forgiven. How come? They don't believe it. Because they don't understand, they ignore it simply. The same principle here about the Holy Spirit of God. They heard about, many people they heard about, they read about, they speak about. Because they are not understanding, ignorant of the Holy Spirit of God, it doesn't mean he is not there. So if he is there, the difference will be in us. As when we believe and we preach all the time, the Spirit of God is dwell among us. The Spirit of God is dwell among us. Do you believe that? Yes. The Spirit of God is dwell in us. How come? It is all by faith. The Spirit of God is in us. It should be evident in our life. That is the concept. That is the theory. When the Spirit of God is in us, it should be evident in our actions, in our behaviors, in our character, in our words, in our deeds. Everything has to be changed. For an example here, why we are grieving the Holy Spirit means, Holy Spirit is in us, we invited Him. No doubt. But you put Him in the one corner, kalas. Let Him sit in one corner. As if we invite guests in our house and put Him in one corner, one chair, one cart, let Him be here, kalas. He will not do inactive, keeping the Holy Spirit in our life and keeping Him as an inactive person, that is something grieving the Holy Spirit. This kind of attitude cannot be forgiven. When you just imagine, if you receive your guest wholeheartedly, you go to them, invite them, giving them anything, everything is okay. But put Him in one corner of your life. Not seen, not active, not speaking, no fellowshipping, nothing. Time to time you are giving food. That is different. In the same way, another example I gave you about Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ, sometimes He was all alone, traveled in the boat. Sometimes He sent the disciples in the boat. They were traveling. So most of the time, under one of the incidents, Jesus Christ was in the boat along with the disciples. And He asked them, let us go into the other shore. And they were traveling. And when they were traveling, there was a great storm. And He was sleeping at the bottom. And when the storm came, they were all crying, not knowing what to do. At last they found, where is Jesus? He was sleeping under. They went and approached Him. Oh, don't you worry about me. Don't you care about us. We are all dying. You know, what was the reason? No fellowship. No communication. No actively participating, fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. That made Him to go down and slept. When He woke Him up, He came and said, He stopped the storm. This is the kind of life most of us are living. We receive Christ, put Him under sleep. No fellowship, no relationship. The same way the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He lives in us. But when you put Him on one corner, grieving the Holy Spirit, that cannot be forgiven. That must serious at us. Let's move on. What does the baptism mean? Galatians 3:27.
For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ.
Clothe ourselves with Christ. So we are clothing.
Luke 24:49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
See, it is not only clothing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I will go and send. And you will be clothed with a power from the high. That is the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. He promised, I will send it. So there are prophecy. It is not only just it has happened at the time of Jesus Christ or even after. And as we know that it is, he is from the creation. But about him, there are prophecies. The Old Testament prophecy 1.
Isaiah 28:11-12. For it is with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear."
So you have to go and read and meditate the scriptures. Here it says about with the stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. How many tongues everyone has? One tongue. But here it says, another tongue. How come you have another tongue? It was prophesied, it will be by him. And another prophecy it was said, prophecy 2.
Joel 2 verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
So the prophecy is already there before Jesus Christ has come, irrespective of any person. All are mentioned here. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughter shall prophesy. Your old man and shall dream. And the dreams, your young men shall see visions. How? By the Spirit of God. He will pour out His Spirit. That's His starting. So in that case, it was prophesied. How it is fulfilled in the New Testament? Fulfillment 1.
1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, it is written, "With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that, they will not hear me."
See? Is it clear? So it is written, with men of other tongue and other lips, I will speak to this people, yet all that they will not hear me. Another prophecy fulfilled.
Acts 2:16-18. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
This was said and repeated by Paul in Acts 2:16-18. And they quoted that this was already done and that's what happening now. So who is the baptizer?
Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance.
That was said by John the Baptist.
But
he is telling about representing Jesus Christ. He is quoting about, he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance." Yes.
"But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
Who will baptize? Jesus Christ will come. That's what Paul, John said. He will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark 1:8.
Mark 1:8. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Luke 3:16.
John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
See, there are two other words are added. He will baptize you with power. He will baptize you with the power and fire. Holy Spirit. Holy is In the name itself it is mentioned that He is holy. And the Spirit is as a power. And holy means His character, He says. So let's move on. There is no time for us. And who may receive it? Okay, Jesus Christ is there to baptize us. Who will receive it? Let us see. Who are all the people to receive it? Then you will confirm that whether you received it or not. Number one, all born again believers receive the Holy Spirit. All born again believers will receive the Holy Spirit. Why so silent, oh, so reluctant to say amen to that? Do you have any doubt? All born-again Christians, believers, are having, yes, read the scripture, John 1:12.
Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God.
Amen. How to receive it? Number one.
Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to him, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive."
You have to repent, you baptize, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another thing, Holy Spirit is fire, power. And now it comes, the scripture says, it is a gift. Do you know the differences? Yes. And you should be born again, you should repent for your sins. Whoever repented and assured that their sins are forgiven, you are expected to receive the Spirit of God in you. Secondly, how to receive it?
Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Two things. With your heart you will believe. And with your mouth you confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, and you are saved. Amen? Thirdly, third reason, how to receive? You should have a hunger and thirst.
John 7:37-39. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
So we should have an hunger and thirst to receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will not just simply come, when you call, He will come. No! That should be in your inner desire. You should have the hunger for it. When you are hungry, you should know the physical hunger. In the same way, you should have a spiritual hunger, not for anything else, to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit in you. Unless you have a hunger and thirst to receive the Holy Spirit, it is not possible. Why most of the people are not filled with the Holy Spirit, or even not knowing that I am having the Holy Spirit in me or not, it is because of these reasons. Let me go one more. How to receive it? We should ask it.
Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
See? He was telling about something, but here he mentioned about give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. We should ask. It is not volunteer. Once you confess your sin, you are sitting at home. It is not possible for you to Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to manifest Himself through you. Not possible. You have to ask. That's why. One more thing. Forgiveness. How to receive it?
Mark 11, 24 to 25. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins.
So, unless you have, if you have any unforgiven sin in you, it is not possible to receive the Holy Spirit of God in you. So that's why whenever we pray, you have to clear. He is Holy Spirit by name itself. So if you have any sin, unforgiven sin, you are not holy. So that has to be confessed. Because you are not confessed, first of all, you are not knowing what sin you have. Secondly, you should not confess. And then, how can you expect the manifestation of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So that is another reason. As a summary to receive the Holy Spirit is number one, to be born again. Number two, you should have faith in Him. Number three, you should have a hunger and thirst. Number four, you should ask or you should pray that you should receive the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, there should not be any unforgiven sin in you, against anybody, and against God Himself. So you have to forgive. So you should assure of your sins are forgiven. So there are many events mentioned in the Bible. Let us go very quickly, because of the time, and I don't think I can complete it, but still I will try. So in the Pentecost, there are events. Five events I selected, and one event is on Pentecost, and there's no time to read the scriptures, but you know that I will give you the summary. Acts 2, 1 to 4. What is mentioned here? When they are all waiting, suddenly a sound like blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be the tongues of fire came rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak, underline, other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Second event, in Samaria. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that, so they were asking, when they arrived, they prayed for them and they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Peter then and John placed their hands upon them. They received the Holy Spirit. Third event, Cornelius' house, Acts 10, 44 and 46. The Peter was still speaking these words. When he is speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all. And verse 45 says, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, unbelievers. And for they heard the speaking in tongues and praising God. Even four, Paul, Acts 9, 17 to 19. If you go through that, they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And he got up and he was baptized about Cornelius. And even the fifth event, I can say here, and Ephesus, and Acts 19, 1 to 6. And there you know, Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you are baptized? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. What has happened? John's baptism was the baptism of repentance. Verse 6 says, when Paul placed his hand on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Addition to that, there is a summary in one thing. Just look at it. There are 5 events mentioned here for your reference. As a summary of what you are saying. On Pentecost, the scripture says they are all filled. What they are filled with? Hello? They are filled with Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. And it was divine. In the sense, no laying of hands there. Secondly, in Samaria, they are all filled, the scripture says. And do they spoke in tongues? No. And they were laid hands and they are filled. Third, Cornelius' house. What has happened? They are all filled. They spoke in tongues and they are no laying of hands. Paul, he filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues? No. Later, it is recorded. Where? 1 Corinthians 14:8, he says, I will speak. Can you read the scripture? For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, Paul is saying about himself, indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with God. No, other things. I mentioned somewhere else. 18, yes. He said, I will speak more than all of you. So, indeed, in the future, yes, he spoke. Yes, let me the chart alone. Yes. See here, and Paul spoke and filled with the Spirit, and he was laid on, Cornelius laid his hand on him, and he was not spoken at that time and later. And Ephesus, they are all filled, they spoke in tongues, they are prophesied, that was the last. And there is a laying of hands. What is common here? They are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Next, most of the things, 4 places out of 5, they spoke in tongues. Paul spoke in tongues. So here, out of 5, in 4 places, there is evident they spoke in tongues. And in 4 places and 3 places, they lay hands upon them. Then they spoke in tongues. So see the priority. Out of 5, all are filled. Out of 5, 4 are spoke in tongues. And out of 5, 3 in 3 places, they lay their hands. So, this is the teaching which you are going to have it tomorrow. And there are biblical examples. Why we should speak in tongues? Why we speak in tongues? Speak to 1 Corinthians 14:2, as I said, speak to God. When you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God. Secondly, why we should speak in tongues? Edifies himself. 1 Corinthians 14:4.
He who speaks in tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church.
Why we should speak in tongues? Third, it helps us in our weaknesses. So what has happened in the conversion on Pentecost? Acts 2:38. 34, slide 34.
Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to him, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So Holy Spirit is a gift. Everyone should desire to receive that gift. And when we say that, so when we accept Jesus Christ itself, the Spirit of God is in us. But as I said, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not seen in us. Jesus said in his teaching to his disciple, by your fruit the world will know you are my disciple. By your fruit. So we know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit is not hidden. None of the fruits are underground. All the fruits are exposed. So if you have the fruit of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you, it should be evident to the world. So the world should see that you are a fruitful Christian. You are holy, spirit-filled Christian. The Spirit of God is in you. That should be seen evidently to the world. Why it is not seen? And we know it is because we are, the operation of the Holy Spirit is not in us. The indwelling Spirit of in us is not evidently seen to the world. There are much more questions. What is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? What is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Why the Spirit is given to the individuals? Why the Spirit is given to the church? Why the Holy Spirit is given to the world? What is His work? What is His purpose? For all these questions, come tomorrow. You ask these questions. Everything will be clarified. If you are not spoken in tongues, tomorrow is the day for you. If you have any questions further, you are most welcome tomorrow. May God bless us. God bless you.